that it's turning. Okay, I'm ready to begin. Today is February 22nd, 2010. I say hello to those in front and to all those that are listening across the expanses of the big wide world. I want to dedicate this shiur in memory of Geshen Ben Yosef, the father-in-law of my Talmud, Reuven Elephant, who is sitting here today and has come many miles to get here. He married into a righteous family, and may he be privileged to see the righteousness continue with the grandchildren and in further generations with the great-grandchildren, and you should be zochel like my mother to see great-great-grandchildren as well, together with your wife in happiness. The shiur I'm about to give today is not a happy shiur, and I know that Rabbi Miller has spoken about our tragedy. I know that Rabbi Schechter answered questions on the tragedy. I know Rabbi Avishai David has spoken about it, but to paraphrase the Gemara in Chulin, Makom Hinichulah Batov L'Hitgaderba, I have what I want to say, and I want to say it in a much wider context. And let's begin at the beginning. First of all, I know some of you have suffered greatly. Some of you have studied with Rabbi Alon, have studied in HaKotel. I don't think there's anyone who equals my personal suffering, because my eldest daughter does all the legal work for HaKotel pro bono as a result of her relationship with Rabbi Alon. The eldest of her wonderful children, the two biggest boys among my eldest grandsons, both, one graduated HaKotel, one is in HaKotel, and they're only there because of Rabbi Alon. My younger grandchildren in HaKotel, of course, do not have that relationship with Rabbi Alon, because they came in already after he left. And let me begin with a Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Zayin Amud Aleph. A very fascinating Gemara. You see, for everything that happens in life, you can find the Maimon Chazal. And the Gemara says, "Ahu dechavi koma beyazel gaver derichatzina alai adja legizizai vakam." Amalei Shmuel and Rabbi Huda kraktiv gamishlami ashabatachti bo. No, what's the Gemara saying? So you go to the Schottenstein Gemara today. Everything is spelled out for you so beautifully. A man. It's the Gemara I once spoke about. I heard the Rav analyze this Gemara many years ago, 1977, the Rav gave a beautiful talk on how to interpret Agata. But what you find in the Gemara is that first a person says what you call folk wisdom, and after the folk wisdom, they finally find the pasuk that supports them, and it shows that folk wisdom, basically, the human instinct is able to understand Torah even without knowing the pasuk. So the Gemara just told us a story that a man came along and said, the person I depended upon, the person I had confidence in, lifted up his fist and beat me up. Shmuel said to Rabbi Huda, why do we need folk wisdom? It's an open pasuk in Tehillim, Memalef pasuk yud, gam ish lo mi ashabatachti vo, ochel lach mi higdil olai akev. That the person that I had confidence in tried to trap me. Akev from Lushan, he became an oyev to me. He tried to capture me. He broke my confidence. And here we have a terrible story, a terrible problem, a terrible happening. None of us know for sure exactly what happened. There are many rumors, but one thing is obvious. Something terrible did happen. I have absolute confidence in Takana, I have absolute confidence in Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, and I know many of the other people on Takana, and I have absolute confidence that if they went public, they had reasons to go public. And here, why are we suffering so much? And this leads us to a human situation. that we seek leadership, we seek rabbinic guidance. I'll come back to this later. Why do we seek rabbinic guidance? There's to be a natural desire among people in our generation. But we all have to remember that we appoint someone, or we worship someone, or we think someone is what we popularly call an Admur, Adonainu Moreinu V'Rabbeinu, which is the rabbinic expression for a Hasidic Rebbe. So yes, in the Tzioni Dati world, in the religious Zionist world, there's no question that Rav Mati alone, if anyone was an Admur, it was Rav Mati alone. He has tremendous charisma. He has a wealth of knowledge in Parshanut HaMikra. He was a Dashan par excellence. And all this added together with the youth seeking him out. And I can tell you from my own experience, B'didi HaVeYovder, it happened to me that once there was a group here from Boca, a whole group together with their rabbi, one of their rabbis, Boca Raton, which today is a near the Ein B'Yisrael. Forget the fact that it has the name of an Indian village. I'm waiting to hear that Indian villages should name themselves Golan, Yecheskel, Yerushalayim, Shechem, but we Jews, Boca is on the map. So they asked me to meet them at the Kotel, that they could daven at my minyan, I should say, and if I would go back with them to the plaza and eat with them and say some Divrei Torah. So I went back to the plaza. Malka met me at the plaza. We said Divrei Torah. And then I said to Malka, you know, there's a Tish across the street in the Great Synagogue. Let's go and see what's happening with the Tish, Rabbi Alone. So we went across the street, came into the Great Synagogue, and I have to say, Ashrei Ayin Ra'at Hazot, thousands of boys and girls. Rabbi Alone up front, his father, Professor Menachem Alone, who I know from practically the day I came in Aliyah, because BMT began in 24 Abarbanel, and the Alone family lived right across the street. He used to daven with us. He used to come into my shayurim occasionally. He wanted to hear a Talmud of Rav Soloveitchik. It was a something very unique back in 1969, 1970. There were not too many Talmidim of Mori Rebbe Rav Soloveitchik here. So I know the Alone family. There's Professor Menachem Alone. There's Natan Sharansky sitting next to Rabbi Alone. And I walked out so inspired. I said, look at the youth. Look at these thousands of kids wearing kippot regat. And look at the hundreds of thousands of girls who crochet the kippot regat. Ashrei Ayin Ra'at Hazot. And here, this Admur let us down. So I have to tell you, a human being is only a human being. And I can give you a long history of great people who made mistakes. I don't have to, I'm going to give you some examples in a second, but you all know we don't have to go very far. Moshe Rabbeinu made a mistake. We all know that in Chumash, Kikat HaSela, a minor mistake compared to what we're talking about. David HaMelech made a mistake, a more major mistake. That already my grandson, one of my grandsons from Akoto, a younger one who really doesn't know Alone well, but very sensitive. And he told me about tshuva. You know, he's giving his grandfather Musa on the concept of tshuva. I didn't want to tell him there's a mistake, there's a sin, there's also a chilul Hashem that defies imagination. So, you see, when we overly trust the human being, if you take the Gemara in Sanhedrin literally, and it's a very powerful, powerful Gemara, that Gemara has haunted me the minute this scandal broke. I kept on thinking of that Gemara. You see, great human beings, and look how they fall. And this is why I personally am opposed to being a chassid, of saying someone is Admur, someone is wonderful, someone is great, someone can do no wrong. Give you another example, and I don't want to go into great detail. This is an example all of you should know. What happened in Kutz one Friday night? Ruven, you know about that or not? The Black Friday night in Kutz. At least they taught you something in Tells. I'm happy to see it. We don't know for sure exactly what happened, but one thing I can tell you, as much as Hasidim would try to cover up This story has reverberated throughout Hasidic history. A great Rebbe whom we all quote, evidently in a moment of madness, of depression, of bipolar action, the Shabbos candles were extinguished, and the Rebbe said, "Late in the late Dayan." And I have to tell you, I can understand that. People went through the Holocaust. They said, "Late in the late Dayan." I told you, yesh v'yesh. There were those that came out of the Holocaust, that woman who just died, with over 2,000 direct descendants. She lost 2 children in the Holocaust. I never knew that. Other children survived, and out of the other 10, she had more children in America. But you see, some people came out of it, hest upon him, but we have to go further. Other people came out of it, laced in the late Dayan. No, if you were a Katzke Chassid, that must have been a terrible, terrible shock. But if you understand that no one is a tzaddik and no one is a malach and no one is perfect, all right, we take what we can. Rabbi Meir took from Elisha ben Avuya, but we have to know where to desist. I'll tell you other stories from modern times. I'll show you something amazing. But I have to tell you in advance, these what I want to show you now has little to do with sinning. It's mistakes in judgment. And I'll deal with this in great detail, Be'ezrat Hashem, I hope next year, when I deal with a concept of Das Torah, which is alien to Torah thinking. This is a concept which no one heard of, no one mentioned. There's a concept of Amunat Chachamim, but a concept of infallibility. God have mercy on us. You're in the wrong religion if you use the word infallibility. But I want to show you. Ein lanu yoter gadol than the Chafetz Chaim. Am I right or wrong? I am mesmerized by the Chafetz Chaim. I'm proud to say I knew Rabbanim who yet knew the Chafetz Chaim. I knew his son-in-law well. His son-in-law from his second marriage, because obviously for me to have known the son-in-law, he had to be from the second marriage, not the first. I knew his grandchildren. I call your attention. I actually translated this into English in the Silvi era. How does it come to the Silvi era? Writing about America. What happened in America? My family is a fine example. Family arrived in America, my wife's family, 1870, 1880. My family arrived 110 years ago. And you look at what happened in America. Part of the family remained frum. Dafka, those who remain frum, all of them live in Israel, basically. And the rest of the family totally lost, totally assimilated. And we're lucky, because Baruch Hashem, a good part of the family remained Jews. So the Chafetz Chaim wrote a famous sefer. I'm holding in front of me. I was able to locate the original printing of the sefer. This is in my shul. As a kid, I grew up with an American printing. This is the original printing, 1904. This is the sefer, Nidchei Yisrael. Why did the Chafetz Chaim write the sefer? So the Chafetz Chaim wrote the sefer for the Jews in America, pleading with them to be Shomer Shabbos and Shomer Kashrut, and you don't know what we were up against in America. Everyone, you can't even start to conceive of it. I had one grandfather. My father's father never worked on Shabbos in America. So you're sitting there, what's the big deal, right? You have no idea what that meant, that he never worked on Shabbos. There were people who remained from so-called. We told you, Rabbi Miller and yours truly, we were discussing the Bronx. Every shul had a 6:30 minyan. They davened, went home, made kiddush, went to work. Every shul. And the 9 o'clock minyan, you didn't see anyone between the age of the teenagers finished. Everyone else was over 70, retired. And you don't know what it meant to America. So the Chafetz Chaim pleaded with the people. At the end of the Sefer, and this is what I translated into English in the Silver Era to show you how terrible America was, at the very end of the Sefer, the Chafetz Chaim says, listen to me, he says. Why did you go so far? Why did you go? Chatimat HaSefer, Hinei Achi Acherei Kol Devarayim B'Sefer Hazeh, Sheherachti Lechazek Yidei HaMikorim B'Aratzot HaRachokot. He says, after all the effort I put into the Sefer, and you got to understand, the Chafetz Chaim put his blood into it. He says, after all I've written, pleading with you, let's be honest, no one can be from in America. And even if you remain from, how do you pass it on to your children? The atmosphere is against you. The surroundings are against you. Is money everything? What good is the money if you're going to lose your children, if your grandchildren will not be Shomer Shabbos? What good is what you earn? And then the Chafetz Chaim pleads with the Jews, you want my Eitzah? Come back to Europe. Forget about the money. Look at your kids. Take a look in America. Everyone shaves with a razor. So many are Mechallel Shabbos. What will be with your children? And your kids are growing up like that. They'll get used to it. He's very right here. He talks about murderers. You talk with a murderer. They're professional murderers. Today in Israel, lo aleinu, we have guys with kippah. Wear a kippah. Professional murderers. So you'll ask a murderer, is it hard to kill? He'll tell you only the first time. I've heard this time and again. I've heard this in the army. Only the first time is it hard to kill. Once you learn how to kill, you remember Golda Meir's word, I'll never forgive the Arabs for turning Jewish boys into murderers. We had to develop an army here. An army has to kill. I can tell you, I have one grandson in a tank, they blew away 9 terrorists. I asked my grandson, how does it, it's nothing personal, you know, you don't know what you're doing, you're sitting in the tank, the artillery is programmed by a computer, they tell you when to shoot. The next morning, crews go out with the Golani, with tanks protecting them, and they pick up the terrorist bodies. And the answer, this is a professional army. A professional army has to kill. He says, if your sons get used to seeing Chilul Shabbos, it's like a murderer. It's going to mean nothing to them. Shave with a razor, Chilul Shabbos. Come home. Listen to me. Yashuv l'medina tov, yechaneich banav l'torah v'yirat shemayim, v'yas ashrei lo rolem haba v'galam hazeh, lo yasov Hashem et chasidav shomei brito v'pkudav. Now I want to ask you, had we listened to Maran v'Rabbanan, the Chafetz Chaim, where would we be today? I wouldn't be sitting here. You wouldn't be sitting here. So you see, no one is perfect. And I have to tell you, this has nothing to do with sin. This I will deal with when I deal with Das Torah next year, Be'ezrat Hashem, I will put it into heavy context with endless sources. But I want to show you, we cannot worship a human being. Everyone who's human, by very definition, is fallible. And he can make mistakes. I'll tell you another story that surfaced, and you can be proud of your Rebbe. I kept the secret for 47 years. No? What do you say? Can you keep a secret for 47 years? 47 years, I kept the secret. A few months ago, someone was out to get the Litvische Welt. So in Hamodir, in English, they blew the cover. And people started calling me, and oh my gosh. And what's the secret? Very simple. In 1962, I started giving a shiur in Reitz, Yeshiva University. That year, the yeshiva expanded. First hall opened. They needed 4 new Rosh Yeshiva. 2 were YU products, a guy named Rothkopf and Rabbi Dr. Noach Goldstein, Zichrono Livracha. 2 were from outside YU. 1 was from Chafetz Chaim, Rabbi Leon Chait, if the name means anything to you. I hope he's alive, I don't know. And they were a lot older than I was. And the other person was a Torah Vadas Rebbe, Rabbi Louis Isby. Why did Rabbi Belkin bring Rabbi Isby, Zichrono Levracha, to Yeshiva University? Because there was heavy politics going on in Torah Vadas, a history which has never been written, I'm afraid it never will be written, but there was a big machloket over the supporters of Rabbi Kedar Yeshua and Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky over the Rosh Yeshivaship. And this was well known, I'm not letting any secrets out of the bag. That's not the secret I kept. Rabbi Yisbi's brother-in-law, can anyone help me, was Rabbi Gedalia Shua. And Rabbi Belkin, who was so good to so many people, gave him a parachute to get out of Torah Vadas, because being Rabbi Shua's brother-in-law, he is caught up in the heat of the controversy. And Rabbi Yisbi was a very peaceful, very fine, nice individual. Rabban Kutler died, 1962. I can still see Rabbi Isby grabs me in the hall and everyone, and he tells me, we had a big problem with Rabban Kutler, he says to me. And he swears me to secrecy. I can still see him going like this. And he tells me the following story, and this is what appeared in Hamodir a few months ago. It can be traced. Here's what appeared. In 1939, Rav Gedalia Shor, whose followers, maybe your own parents, your own fathers, anyone studied with him, anyone has a father went to Torah Vadas here. So they claim he was the first American-born Gadol B'Torah. I don't know, it may be correct, although I have to tell you, Rabbi Hirschel Revel, Rabbi Dr. Hirschel Revel, the youngest son of Rabbi Dr. Bernard Revel, was a Gadol B'Torah himself. You should know he was a big Talmud Chacham, but his life didn't work out. He never married. It was a sad life. Enough is said. Could very well be that as far as someone who had influence and said Shayurim, Rav Gedalia Shor was the first American-born Gadol B'Torah. In those years, the minhag was in Germany and in America, and we spoke about it a few years ago when I spoke about the history of Torah in modern times. No one felt he was a Gadol B'Torah till he went to a Litvish yeshiva. And Rav Gedalia Shor went up in Kletsk, and he was a bright boy. In 1939, he's married, he's learning in Kletsk. 1939, his father calls hysterically, "Get out! War is going to break out! Contact the consul, the nearest American consul." He calls the consul. They tell him, "Get out immediately, because once war breaks out, we cannot protect you with your American passports." So Gedalia Shor gave up his apartment, gave up his furniture, took off. While he's taking off to go to America, he gets a letter from Rabban Kutler. Then, and this part was published, "The next year will be better than the last. Stay where you are." And Rav Aaron, this is interesting, "I will get you a new apartment." And this line they left out when they republished the letter, because Rav Aaron says, "I will buy you new furniture as well. You don't have to worry." Well, I don't have to tell you, if you're a Talmud, Rav Aaron Kutler, if you're a Kletzka, you get a letter like that from the Rosh Yeshiva, he was in a tremendous enigma what to do. Thank God, he went on to America. His wife, his father, his parents were pressing. He didn't listen to Rav Aaron. And you see, think for a minute. This is what Rabbi Isby, of course, was trying to say to me, and actually said it. I don't want to use his own language. That had my brother-in-law listened to Rav Aaron Kutler, there would be no Rav Gedalia Shor today. So, again, I'm not faulting Rav Aaron, chas v'chalila. Ein l'dayin ela ma'shein avra, what? A shofet can only see, yiftach b'doro k'shmul b'doro, shmul b'doro k'yiftach b'doro, the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. We're limited, but there's one basic message here. The concept of an admur, of someone who is infallible, is alien to us as Torah people. Hasidus is wrong on this level. And I'll bring you another proof. and then I'll show. I'm all wrong. Take my word for it. I'm going to explain why I'm wrong. Let me, David, no questions now. Let me establish my thesis.
What was the top?
You in the base medrash? I'm talking about in Yonah Diyoma. You don't know what's happened here? You're living in a vacuum? You're living in a bubble? Let me go one step further. You want a proof that I'm wrong? That I'm correct, I mean. Ain't none of your tegadol me Reb Chaim Briska. Reb Chaim refused to join Agudat Yisrael. And there are many stories about Reb Chaim. I heard various versions, but all the versions mesh into one. And essentially, when they started talking what became Agudat theology, so this whole concept of a Mo'etzet Gedolei HaTorah, that you have a group of rabbis, and what they say is final, is authoritative. And Reb Chaim said he can't accept it. This is the great Reb Chaim. It's the final years that he was functioning at the right before World War I, during the early part of World War I. So they asked Reb Chaim, why are you opposed? And Reb Chaim said, let me tell you the advantage of kerosene lamps over electricity. So everyone looked at Reb Chaim. What do you mean? Electricity is much better by definition. So Reb Chaim said, yeah, electricity is a lot better, but when you had kerosene lamps, you never had power failures. With electricity, you have power failures. And when you have a power failure, no one has light. With the kerosene lamps, you ran out of oil. You went next door to your neighbor and borrowed a little oil. With power failures, all is lost. And Reb Chaim said, a Mo'etzet Gedolei HaTorah is wonderful. What if they make a mistake? If they take away the authority of individual rabbis, it's like electricity, a power failure. All is lost. The lights are out. No one but no one has the benefit of sight. And that's why he was opposed. And this is Reb Chaim. This is Litvish. This is independent thinking. This was the greatest gift I got from the Rav. The Rav taught us to think as individuals, not as a herd of sheep or a herd of cattle. I can give you so many examples, but the Rav would say time and again, don't do what I do because I do it. Only emulate me if you think I'm right. And the classic example, I was talking with Reb Heschel the other morning, reminding him of what happened in 1956. 1956, the Rav gave a meridik yotzein drasha, einol sin mitzvot chavilot chavilot, dealing with brachot and doing many mitzvot at once, and he got involved in Haftalah, and the Rav spoke about the need to sit during Haftalah, with his lamdis that you begin with a Sudat Shabbat, you end with Havdalah. Havdalah, to quote the Rav's beautiful words, Havdalah changes a Shabbos meal, you now have in front of you a weekday table. In Tul Havdalah, whatever you're eating is Shabbos dik. That's why Havdalah, you have to be sitting, there has to be kviyut, there has to be a tablecloth yet left. Only after Havdalah do you take off the tablecloth and the weekday begins. All right, the Rav gives this Shabbos drasha, was January, I would say, Gimel Shvat, his father's Yortzeit, gives this Yortzeit drasha, that's the word I'm looking for. And maybe in March, the boys prevail upon the Rav to spend Shabbos in the yeshiva. And this was a big thing, because the Rav was in Boston, he was a Shtat Rav yet, and he was never in New York for Shabbos. The boys prevailed upon him. So you can't imagine that Shabbos, the mob scene. You know, the yeshiva was small then, the whole high school and college, You're talking, you may be 300-400 students. It's not like today, yeshivas, thousands. And Shabbos afternoon, everyone walked over from the Bronx and the Upper West Side. The crowds came up to him. The Rav spoke to Vishen Minchen Marev, and we were in heaven. And after Marev, Yisrael Reis, Rav Shachter, Rav Heschel told me yesterday, he still lives in Washington Heights. I made his shidduch. The Mashkiach came, Rabbi Yitzchak, you don't know this, the Mashkiach came over to me and he says, a tata from a Beis Yaakov made Latzamirka, come in. And I said to him, Reese would be pasik for that girl. And Baruch Hashem, so many years later, they're still happily married. So Reese comes over to the Rav and he says, Rebbe, would you make Havdalah? And as the Rav comes up front to make Havdalah, hundreds of people are sitting down. So the Rav says, who told you the secret that you sit during Havdalah? And the guy say, Rebbe, you just gave a yahrzeit shiur a few weeks ago. And it was so interesting to see his response, because his attitude was, all right, this is in theory what you should do. But if your father stands, and most people stand, you should stand. Who gave you this secret? See, the Rav taught us to think independently. If you mimicked him or emulated him, he got angry. He exploded. And you understand, the right wing could never understand this. When the Rav died, if you recall that terrible eulogy that appeared in Jewish Observer, they criticized the Rav because he did not clone students. And they didn't understand that cloning students was the antithesis of everything the Rav stood for. So sure, I sound smart, I sound good, and I'm saying to you, we made a bad mistake, we shouldn't have amudim, we have to say, fine, he's a Talmud Chacham, he's a nice person, he's a good person, but everyone has faults, we don't follow anyone blindly. And that way, if chas v'chalila, something terrible happens, as has happened, we will not be so dismayed. There's only one problem with my beautiful thesis and my Litvisha lifestyle. It has gone out of the window like the dinosaurs. Noach, when is the last time you saw a dinosaur walking into Gris Kollel? You saw that happen this morning at 6:20 when Aaron Rakefet, a.k.a. Arnie Rothkopf, walked in to Gris Kollel. But that's a dinosaur. It's over. I spoke Friday night. I had supper with a whole group of people my age range who have seen it all and been through it all. Rabbanim, children of Rabbanim. And we all said the same thing. This is the tragedy. Everyone, we turn a human being into a god. We worship him. But the reality is this generation, and I'll explain why, needs a god, needs an Atmur. My concepts are ancient. They're gone. They're forgotten. The world looks so carefully, who can we crown? Who can be our king? Take a look at Lubavitch. Who would ever dream what would come of Lubavitch? Look at Gair. Look at Bells. Look at Numerica, Bavov, Satmar. Wow, did you ever talk with a chassid? I once, coming from the Kotel, had to be Tisha B'Av years ago. There was an election that fall. And I remember speaking with this Gera Chassid, so who will you vote for? And he tells me, a mature man, a businessman, whoever the Rebbe tells him to vote for, that's who he will vote for. And I remember I walked away, that's unbelievable, the guy has no mind. He totally gave up his mind, eradicated his mind, erased his thinking, his emotion, his proclivities, his inclinations, whatever the Rebbe will tell me. And the whole world has become like that. There may be many reasons. It's the Haredi world, it's the Tzioni Dati world, it's Unfortunately, the literature world, as I've said 1,001 times over, who would ever dream that we all dress the same way? I just saw pictures of Hebron Yeshiva across the street from where we're sitting, Hebron and Givat Mordechai, 800 students, 1,000 students in the base medrash, everyone with a white shirt. Shabbos? How can it be Shabbos? They're photographing them. Not one person is wearing a shirt that has a different color, a different semblance, a different individuality. And the Chassidus has won out. Why has it won out? There can be many reasons. I think the most important reason is that no one survived the Holocaust in better shape than the Chassidim. The Litvische Welt disappeared. It was never rebuilt. The Hasidic world, next to the State of Israel, is the second greatest post-Holocaust miracle. Who would ever dream? We mentioned names before. What was Lubavitch before 1951? What was Lubavitch? A few hundred Hasidim. If I'm understating it, fine. So you had 2,000 Hasidim. What was Gare? What was Bells? Nothing. There wasn't even a Rebbe that was functioning. The Alter Gera Rebbe who came to Israel was totally dismayed. He lost most of his family. The Belzer Rebbe lost his entire family. I believe it's a wife and 10 children or more. Totally wiped out. Who was functioning? What? When? Take a look at them today and take a look at their success. And Litvish Rosh Yeshiva, and you have a prime example of what we're talking about. Look at Rabbi Yitzchak Huttner. Here's Rabbi Huttner, went to Berlin, close to the Soloveitchik family, a man who worshipped the ground that Rav Avram Yitzchak HaKuk walked on. Follow his story, his saga in the United States, what happens in the 40s and into the 50s. By the early 60s, Rav Kook's picture is down, and Chaim Berlini, do you follow Rav Huttner? You have no place there. He's like a Rebbe. And this repeats itself time and again. And this is part of the problem. There's another part of the problem. We don't know how to learn today. Learning has disappeared. How do we know we don't know how to learn today? It's very simple. Look into the Rishonim. Look into Rashi. Look into Tosfot. They quote a Gemara, they tell you the Masechet. By the end of the Rishonic period, they quote a Gemara, they tell you what Perek it's in. Look into the Achronim, they'll quote a Gemara already, they'll start to tell you the start of the Perek, the end of the Perek. Look into the later Achronim, they'll quote a Gemara, they'll give you a daf. Today, Schottenstein's Gemara, which we all use, and Steinfeld's Gemara, which we all use, every other Gemara was printed, you only saw the pagination on Aleph, Mem He Aleph. Today, look into a Gemara, you'll see Mem He Amid Bet. Mem Vav in the Gemara, printed, that people have to be able to find the source. They give you already Mem He Aleph, Mem He Bet in the Gemara, on top. The pagination is right there. That never was before. I make a prediction in 50 years or sooner, you'll quote a Gemara, Mem He Amid Bet, the 19th line. It'll be right there in the quote. We don't know how to learn. We're already crippled. You'll talk about this next year, Be'ezrat Hashem. We're the generation of the encyclopedias. So if you find someone who knows a little bit more, we jump on him, we crown him, we extol him. The concept of an Admor is here to stay. But there's another reason. And the other reason may be the most basic one of all. Gentlemen, we all live in two worlds. The Haredim are fighting the cell phones. The Haredim are fighting the computers. The Haredim are fighting the internet. As far as I know, they've been fighting the internet from the day the internet came on the scene. Why are they still fighting? because the overwhelming majority of Haredim have access to the internet. You cannot breeze today without access to the internet. Every post office and every bank and every supermarket. I was checking out of Mega a week ago. Suddenly the electricity went for the first time ever, and all sales came to an end. It was unbelievable. I couldn't believe what I saw. No emergency lighting, just a few lights, the cash registers. B'nai Shalom. This is the world today. We live in two worlds. We can't escape. Geva Toshav Anochi Machem. I quoted the Rav on this 1,000 times over. We are Gerim in one sense. We're Jews. Shabbat, Kashrut, Tarat Mishpacha. We can't be like Bill Clinton or like Hussein Obama or like some secular Jewish leader. But on the other hand, Toshav, we're part of civilization, we're part of the world, we're out of the ghetto, we're integrated, we want to make a living, we want to live b'kavod, and we're totally affected by what's going on in the big world, and this has seeped into our blood, and we feel the inadequacy. Many of us feel we're not strong enough, we're not powerful enough, we're not learned enough, we don't have enough confidence in ourselves. So we seek a figure who's above the crowd, who's an Admur, who can help us, who can be an example for us. And this too leads to this concept of having an Admur, and it's part of human nature. I can't criticize it. But we have to understand everything I said, the Litvish world, the lack of authority, independence, original thinking, judging by yourself, the ability to be positive or to be negative, the ability to be supported or to be critical, the ability not to follow blindly. These are magnificent, wonderful ideals, but I don't believe we can live with these ideals in contemporary society. Unfortunately, times have changed, and in our own souls, 90% of the population seeks Hasidus, seeks the Admur, and that's why this scandal has so tragically affected not tens of thousands of people, hundreds of thousands of people. The State of Israel, the religious world in Israel, the world which I am part of, the world which I am proud of, the world in which I raised my children, the world in which my grandchildren so enthusiastically and so beautifully embrace, we are in total, complete shock. And let me go one step further. Part of this being in the general world affects our thinking. And I want to say, as time moves on, I totally, completely, absolutely disagree with what Yeshiva University did a few weeks ago. I was in London at the time, or right before I left for London, I saw the fallout in London as well. See, in the big world today, there's a total sexual breakdown. Sex has become no more than a biological function. The whole difference between male and female is eroded. The Israeli army, if you read B'Machaneh, every once in a while they run articles on frontline female soldiers. I don't have to apologize for my feminism. I've taught more women on the higher level. I can tell you that in London, the greatest moment of the 3 weeks or 3.5 weeks that I spent away from the holy city, the greatest moment came one evening towards the end when there was a supper arranged by couples in London. The girl who hosted it, the lady girl, she may be a grandmother already, but anyone younger than me is a girl. You have to pardon me, kid. I know very few women, I know a lot of girls. One by one, women in their 50s got up and said, witness, like I don't want to mention the name, Jay witnesses what I did for them as their Rebbe, how I changed their lives when they studied me, Machon Gold and Michlala. So I don't have to apologize. I taught women on a level. I never spoke down to them. But a man is a man. A woman is a woman. We can't forget that. There are differences, biological, physiological, physical, materialistically, emotionally, every which way you look at it. God created two different species, Baruch Hashem. Without that, we wouldn't be here. But the world today, it's an entire different thrust. And God have mercy, homosexuality has become normative. And it spills over into our thinking, willy-nilly, whether we realize it or don't realize it. And that conference that Yeshiva University sponsored, doesn't matter what the conference really was. Doesn't matter what the conference really was or where it was. The impression it left in the world was that in the Beis Medrash of Yeshiva University, homosexuals got up in public and said, we are homosexuals, and rabbis gave the impression that they accept them. And the minute you make it normative, I have to tell you the tragedy here with Rabbi alone, so wake l'shamayim. I don't even want to spell it out, but hundreds and hundreds of young men, well, we have homosexual instincts, what's wrong? Instincts, what's wrong? It's normative, what's wrong? Rabbi Alon, Rabbi Steve Greenberg, the graduate of this very kollel, my own Talmud, Shem Yerachem, we're finished. And I tell you from my own experience, and Rabbi Schefter told me cases he had. We both had a number of cases with students, and all of them were helped and lived straight lives today with children, with happy marriages. But when you make it normative, Shem Yerachem, why go for help? And this is the worst part of this current tragedy, that every kid in the world who spoke about homosexuality when I was growing up, did you speak about it? Did you speak about it in tells? Who mentioned? All right, we knew there is such a thing. I'm not an Amoritz. There's a Tumtum and a Draganus. I'm fully aware of it. Learn the Gemara in Bracha, in Bechorat, I should say. Learn the Gemara in Bracha. You'll see entire sukkahs, the difference between them, etc. Do they count as male, females? But that's 0.1%. The rest of the world was made in a normal fashion. And now, the New York Times and a YU forum. And what happened now, you give it respectability, acceptability, normativity. God have mercy on us. They don't marry. They don't have children. Okay? Let's go a step further. Then I want to come down to you. I want to say we can be proud of two things in all this aggravation. Rabbi Miller said he heard it in the name. I told him you don't have to hear the name of anyone. I heard it with my own ears. Shelly Achimovich, who's not an Ohevet Yisrael. She's a Chaverat Knesset, but she's not a bad person. You have to understand, I meet people who maledict Yossi Sarid. I can tell you Yossi Sarid is a very fine person. But they believe in democracy. Their concept of democracy overrides all other concepts. I believe in democracy too, but only when it doesn't conflict with Torah Hashem to me. I understand my concept of Chilul Shabbos per Prehesia conflicts with democracy. Well, when the concept of Chilul Shabbos per Prehesia conflicts with democracy, I have to cross out democracy and follow Torah Hashem to me. But she's different. She said, I envy the Tzioni Dati camp that you have an institution which people, students, can complain to. We do not have it, not in the Haredi world, and not in my world, the Chiloni world. And that's a beautiful thought that Shulamit alone, that Shelley Yachimovich expressed. And we can be proud. Takana was set up 5 years ago. You know why it was set up? There was a terrible story out of Bar Ilan, the Midrash Shah. One of the Rabbanim, a very prominent rabbi who played a very focal position, was accused by the women of certain indecent acts. I've taught women for 31 years, over 7,000. Thank God. I never yet heard among myself, my friends, there should ever be an accusation. Here there were accusations. He was dismissed, and the women here in Israel, the Michala graduates, the Kolech element, yelled and shouted, we need a forum that a student had complained to. Because you see, in the Israeli army, there is a rule, a law, a chok, call it what you wish. An officer is not allowed to take out a lady who serves under him. It is bepkuda. It is an army regulation. Why? It's called Nitzul Hama'amad. In other words, the officer has a certain position. Nitzul Marut is the word, the formal word they use. An officer has a certain position. And you take out a girl who's a sergeant. No, you have it over her. If she'll be nice to you, you'll do her a favor. And it is not allowed. In civilian life, this can reflect with a teacher, a student, a rabbi, a parishioner. So Takana was set up. And those are wonderful people in Takana. I saw the list. I know about 2/3 of them personally. Some of them are my own students, like Rebbetzin Shilat, studied with me in Michlala, and others are my students. So at least we have consolation. There's a forum to go to. The second part is overwhelming. How all this happened years ago, and there never was a leak to the population at large. Aaron Rakefet cried in London at, I don't know if it was in public or at one of the dinners, and I said, we have no mazel in the Tzioni Dati world. We finally have a charismatic leader, and he has heart trouble, had to leave Yerushalayim, had to move up north. And I'm talking to Rabbi Alon. I didn't know anything. And Rabbaron Lichtenstein, who you all know, I don't have to tell you who Rabbaron is. He's not my Admur, but if you ask me who is the closest to any Admur that I have, it is Rabbaron Lichtenstein. Rabbaron broke down and cried. And if you recall, he said in his speech, I have a copy for you, Chili. And yes, I have the what you wanted is waiting here as well. Remember what you wanted? I see Rocks did. Rabbaron Lichtenstein broke down and cried and said in his speech that why did we go public? Because the press got leaks. And Yediyot Achronot was going to break it. And God have mercy, had Yediyot Achronot broken the news, how it would have come out so anti-religious and so sensationalist. So they decided they must go public because the dam is about to burst open. But imagine, so many years went by and there was no leak at all to the population at large. This is an amazing achievement. And let me go further. And
what is the difference
between that and a cover-up? No, a cover-up, when you say a cover-up means the person is unscathed. Here they got rid of the person, moved him away from a position of power and influence, made certain conditions with him under which he can function up north, and then he didn't keep to the conditions according to what is being said. I can't say I've investigated it, that he did meet with people privately. And as you know, I've told the students in this class, in the Kollel, year in, year out, that you never consult with a female student privately. Even though it's not yichud, even though the door is not locked, do it in the teacher's room.
I never dreamt in a million years where you have to tell a Rebbe you can't consult with a male student privately. God have mercy, my mind doesn't work that way. But he was warned, and evidently he broke. But that's not a cover-up. There's a difference. There's a tremendous difference. They knew what had happened, and they got rid of him. The question was to do it in a way that Torah Hashem would not suffer like it's suffering now. Do you understand what this does to a teenage kid? Do you understand what it does to a kid in his 20s? I said about Friday night that we're cynical. We're older. We've been through life. We've seen the Shpinke Rebbe go to jail. You understand what I'm saying? Well, we've seen already Gedolei Yisrael, what happened to their children, what happened to their grandchildren. I don't have to elaborate. We all know in America, one of the greatest Gedolim, what the hell two granddaughters did to him. Shem Yirachem Aleinu. You don't know how much that affects me, because I had kids in BMT, not kids. Remember, BMT in the 70s had older students, juniors or post-college, not post-high school kids. Kids didn't come that young. I had students who took out these girls. They said, Rebbe, we'll sell you to centerfold. I say, Azamenuvel Binichnish, that I'm going to look at centerfolds yet with students, you understand? But Azamenuvel Binichnish, but Ribbono Shel Olam, that's a cover-up. But here they didn't cover up. They wanted only to salvage what could be salvaged, and that the public image shouldn't be shattered. There are thousands of kids that are in need of therapy at this moment. It may be tens of thousands of kids. My daughter told the head of Yeshiva HaKotel, you can't just deal with the students of today, you have to deal with the students of 5 years ago and 10 years ago. It is shattering. The man, you wouldn't hear from the start of my shiur, but the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Zayin, Amud Aleph, the man we depended upon has disappointed us in the highest fashion. You know what's being said in the street? At least Rabbi Trapper's episode was between a man and a woman. I don't want to say it further. Draw your own conclusions. Gentlemen, my dear students, is it shocking? Is it terrible? The Chazal predicted. And here, of course, we have the Gemara in Sota that Rabbi Miller quoted, everyone quotes. It's actually a Mishnah in Sota, where the Mishnah starts talking about Mishnah in Sota, Perek Tet, Mishnah Tetvav, the Yikvot Meshicha Chutzpah Yazge, that as Mashiach comes, as we come to the end of the Golas, Chutzpah will be all over the place. And the Gemara gives many examples, the Mishnah I should say. And one of the examples the Mishnah gives, it's a famous Mishnah, I don't have to go into details, many have quoted it, it deals with financial problems, with ethical problems, moral problems, human respect, civil decency, and one of the concepts the Mishnah says, Beis Vad Yiyelesnut. What does that mean? Beis Vad. And Rashi struggles. Rabbi Miller said to me, he called this to your attention. Did he speak about it? Did you hear him? Look into Rashi. Rashi can't conceive. Beis Vad Yiyelesnut, a yeshiva, a place of Torah, a place of study, will turn into a house of ill repute? This cannot be. And the pshat of Rashi, it's forced. Rashi goes out of his way. Beis Vad Shel Chacham Yele Beis Nud. Shekulu HaChachamim, Kilu HaChachamim, V'ein Lomei Torah, V'yeh Chareiv, Me'ein Ish, Ubal Zimah, Mitgodedim Shem, B'tnei Shechutz Le'yir, Hayu Batei Midrashat Shalem. What a pshat in Rashi. Rashi learns pshat that the Batei Midrash were built on the outskirts of the city to keep away from all the noise. This is why Reb Aaron Cutler went to Lakewood. This is why the great yeshiva of Slabatka was in Slabatka, not in Kovno. Kovno was the big city, and Slabatka was the small town suburb. And this was a yeshivish tradition when YU went and opened up and built the campus in Washington Heights in 1929. All you had surrounding the campus were cows. There were no humans living that far out. It was Yenimsvelt. It was the end of the world. Echtvelt, we say in proper Yiddish. So Rashi learns Pshat. There are no Chachamim left. Once there are no Chachamim left, all the boys and girls ran out of the city their parents shouldn't see. And in the deserted Beit Medrash, they turned it into a Beit Snut. I have news for you. Rashi was Melamed Skut and Klal Yisrael. The Pshat is much simpler. You don't have to go and give a pilpul. Beit Vad, the yeshiva itself, Lo Aleinu, will become a Makom Snut. And this is exactly what happened. Not only that, the Mishnah proves my thesis on living in two worlds. And what it does to us. What does the Mishnah say towards the end? When Mashiach is coming, Pinei Hadar ki Pinei HaKelev. The face of the generation will be like the face of the dog. So, I've been saying this Pshat for 50 years already. I told Reb David Miller that I'm afraid I heard it from someone and I don't already remember who because I've said it over so many times. So I don't want to be accused of plagiarism like Mark Shapiro, what we spoke about last week, quoting Reb Yechiel Yaakov Weinberg and accusing Reb Chaim Heller of plagiarism. Remember, I dealt with that a week or two ago in answer to a question. So I opened up the Schattenstein, the art scroll, and I saw that my pshat goes back to Rabbi Chanan Wasserman, and I know where he said it because I read this as a kid. Ikvata de Mashiachata. Rabbi Chanan Wasserman wrote a pamphlet right at the late 30s that it's Mashiach. It's times have gotten so bad for the Jews spiritually and physically. It has to be Ikvata de Mashiachata. That pamphlet was translated into English. And somehow in London, there is endless money for Neturei Kata, for Sonei Yisrael. I don't know where that money, where does it come from? And a guy named, and the English people have names, Graham, we had a guy in the Kollel, Clark. Clark was married to a Graham, Eli Clark. He studied with me right here in Gruss. Go and dream that Clark and Graham are Jewish. You understand? This actor, Swift, that I mentioned yesterday in class, Clive Swift, who started my shiur yesterday, go and dream that Swift is Jewish. He's probably related to the Rabbi Swift. There were two rabbis also, Germans to London. Everyone comes from Germany to London. Okay. What does it mean, Pnei Hadok or Pnei HaKelef? I'll tell you, it's a Meridik Pshat. It's not exactly Rabbi Chanan, I have a twist on it, but this is the pshat. Look, when you see a guy walk, how many of you own a dog? How many of you? I remember, so you own a dog, good. I remember when I came in Aliyah, I saw Jews walking dogs, from Jews, to me it was overwhelming. You follow me, David? Whoever saw a Jew having a dog is, my grandfather would say, a treifene hund, a treifene, he's treif, what a dog. So Jews own dogs, so when you walk with a dog, who walks in front? The dog is walking in front of you. Tell me, who's leading? Are you leading or is the dog leading? Right. No, exactly. Pnei hadok, pnei hakelev. That we are led astray. We become like dogs already. The thinking of the world influences us so that we think we're walking ahead. We're leading. We're walking in front. We're independent people. We're free. Really, we're being motivated by the person holding the leash. And who is holding the leash for us? Western civilization. Ger v'toshev. That's what it means, in my humble opinion. Pnei hadar ki pnei hakelev. We're like a dog. Everyone makes the mistake. The dog is walking up front. You think the dog is leading? No! The dog is on a leash. The owner of the dog is telling him which way to go, how quick to go, etc. We're living at a time, willy-nilly, we all absorb, we all imbue. It's by osmosis, it's part of our blood. We're part of the big world. Feminism, democracy, homosexuality, everyone is equal, money conquers all, scandal after scandal after scandal. You don't even know, since we met yesterday, all over the New York Times, all over the Los Angeles Times, the latest scandal out of Borough Park. What a scandal. Wow. Balkany, a rabbi, arrested. $4 million. The guy was visiting someone in jail. A Jew, a from Jew. He's in jail, a white-collar crime, worked for a hedge fund. He tells the rabbi how the owners of the hedge fund have done illegal things. The rabbi calls the owners and says to them, a man in jail is going to snitch on you. I can stop him from snitching and enable you to sleep at night. It'll cost you $4 million. For him, whatever. The person he called the FBI. Now that you have already stinkers all over the place, the Shpinker Rebbe, and this one and that one, and Dvek, and Kassira. Boy, it's a whole who's who, Orthodox Jew stinkers for the FBI. Guy calls the FBI. And he tells the FBI, look, this man wants to meet with me, wants the checks. He doesn't know what I look like. Why don't you send someone to meet with him? The FBI got hold of some Jewish agent, was kuktois v'yayid, put a yarmulke on him. He met with the guy, gave him one check for $2 million, another check of, he couldn't give him the other two, he gave him a $0.125 million, and when Balanki, whatever his name is, the rabbi, goes to the bank in Borough Park to deposit the checks, they let him hand it to the teller. They're photographing everything. At that minute, they jump out and put the handcuffs on him, get him out of the bank and out of Borough Park as quickly as possible. They don't want a riot. And this is the latest scandal. Pnei HaDaka, Pnei HaKelev. What motivates us? Money, sex, foreign ideals, dual culture. No one is immune. Even in Beit HaVad, we have Beit HaZnut, Pshuto Kamashma'o, not the way Rashi never had to explain it, and we can't have Atmurim, at least in theory. Unfortunately, we're human beings. Let me go one step further now and bring it down to you. Gentlemen, this brings us to a very important Gemara. You're going into Chinuch, you're going into Rabbanut. I plead with you as I've pleaded for the last generation, I would say already, unfortunately. If you have any sexual problems, Chinuch and Rabbanut is not for you. Get help. Do not create a Chilul Hashem. I don't have to tell you what the Gemara in Yuma says about Chilul Hashem or what the Rambam Paskins in Hilchot Tshuva. I don't want to spell it out because we have a big Chilul Hashem in front of us today. Gemara appears twice in Shas. Mesechet Chagiga, Tefav Amid Bet, it also appears in Moed Katan. I think in a similar daf. My dechtiv, the Gemara asks. Amar Rabba Bachanan, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, my dechtiv. It's a pasuk in Malachi, right towards the end. Baruch Atod Melech Olam Shkei. Maidichtiv ki siftei kohen yishmeru dat v'torah yivakshu mi pihu. What does that mean? The lips of the kohen watch the religion. Torah we request from his mouth. Ki malach Hashem tzvakatu, the kohen is a malach. And the Gemara dashens im dome harav l'malach Hashem tzvakot yivakshu Torah mipihu. V'im lav, al yivakshu Torah mipihu. And what a Gemara. If the Rebbe's like a malach, you can study with him. If the Rebbe's not like a malach, keep away from him. Of course, what does this mean on the simple level? Look into the Likutei Rashi, Ki malach shluchah shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, kamalachein l'shareit, l'sharet lefanav l'kanes lifnim mechitzato. What this Gemara is telling us, if you're going to be a Rebbe, if you're going to be a Machanech, if you're going to be a Malamed, if you're going to be a Rav, you have to realize your responsibility. You are a Shliach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'll show you a Rambam in a few minutes. You're not your own person. This is why I got very upset when I heard a group of people in Boston, in Harnov, in the Beis Medrash, talking about Balei Tshuva, and they refer to it as the Balei Tshuva industry. And that word industry got me very upset. One says to the other, oh, you're teaching in the Balei Tshuva industry. It's a calling. Teaching Torah is a calling. The Rav used to say there's nothing more important than teaching Torah. It's more important to the survival of the Jewish people, I'm quoting Rebbe now, than a king, than a warlord, quoting Rebbe. And he says when a person teaches Torah, you have to treat it like a sofer who's being makadesh shem Hashem. How many of you know sofrot? No? When you write a sefer Torah, you go to mikveh every morning. Can you tell me why? Because that day you'll be writing Shem Hashem, you have to write it B'Kedusha B'Tara. So the Rav said, when you're teaching Torah, you're doing even more than a cipher. Because a cipher is writing the Shem Hashem is being makadoshed on an inanimate piece of parchment. When you're a Rebbe, you're writing Shem Hashem on the heart of a human being. On the soul of a human being. When I taught those girls back in Machon Gold and Michlala, I taught them with all my heart and soul, B'Kedusha B'Tara. I got my thank you in London. My wife was there, you know. I'm a hero. Not always are we heroes in front of our wives. But Baruch Hashem, teaching Torah, you have to know your responsibility. Ki malach Hashem svakatu. Never forget it. But there's a second part, and this is mine. I have a copyright on this. As far as I know, I'm not plagiarizing anyone, but others have quoted me already. How could you be like a malach? We're busted with them. Look into the Midrash Rabbah and Kohelet. We have different stages in life. Shlomo HaMelech wrote Shir HaShirim in his youth. Mishlei in his middle age. Kohelet in his old age. When you're a normal human being, you're allowed to have different periods. Smach b'chor b'yaldutecha. But no, that there has to be a cheshbon. But smach b'chor b'yaldutecha. Come to Mishlei. Look at the Mishnah in Pirkei Avot. You have common sense. You can give advice. Kohelet, old age. You're thankful. I remember Rabbi Avadya Yosef said when he hit 80, that every day over 80 is a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Alright? A Rebbe has to be like a Malach. What characterizes a Malach? Age is not a factor in his existence. Shliach, how can it mean? What am I saying? Age is not a factor? A Rebbe cannot have three periods. He has to live all three periods at once, simultaneously, concomitantly. If you're going to have periods, you'll have a Talmud. Oh, Rabbi Rakefet was my Rebbe. I'm a great Mizrahi. I'd like my Rebbe. Yeah, studied with the Rebbe Sheshir. Another kid comes along. Rabbi Rakefet was my Rebbe. I'm an Agudesh. Studied with the Rebbe in Mishlei. Another kid comes along. Oh yeah, I had Rakefet too. I'm an Aturi Katanik. I studied with him in Kohelet. The end of the world. If you're only in Shir HaShirim, you can be wild. You can lead students who knows to what. You never grow up. Did Elon ever grow up? If this is the way he behaved, Shlomo LeKalbach, a giant of emotion. I knew Shlomo, but he never left Shir HaShirim. You can have certain Rebbeim who are cynical and sarcastic already at the age of 21. They're already in Kohelet. You didn't give Shir HaShirim any time. You didn't give Mishlei any time. You want to be a good Rebbe? You have to have the ability to live all three periods at once. In my office, I have a little museum hanging on the wall. What characterizes those pictures? All three periods are there. Simultaneously, concomitantly. I photographed a baseball game in the new stadium, Yankee Stadium, last August. That picture hangs in my office with other baseball pictures. Shir HaShirim, you have Mishlei, you have the Israeli army, Kohelet, Eight Shalom, Eight Milchama. It's all there. You want to be a good Rebbe? You have to blend, balance. A student has to get guidance for life. Guidance in Shir HaShirim, endless energy, desire. Guidance for Mishlei. Guidance for Kohelet. Hakina, Hakavod, Vahata'ava. Motziya ta adam min ha'olam. Pirkei Avot. You want my pshat on it? Doesn't happen altogether. It's three different periods. A young person, ta'ava. Ta'ava. Money, sex, good life. Middle-aged, kina. Why did my friend, he bought a home in Hendon, and I still have a small, we have an Englishman in the class, you should know, Rabbi Gideon Black. These are South Africans who wound up in England. I don't know what they are. I don't know if they know what they are, but it's okay. Nice home in Hendon. Why do I have this little flat in Golders Green? Kinner. You get older, I've seen this somewhere, I don't have mentioned names. People my age, they don't get me covered. I'm not recognized. Why did he get that award? I didn't. Why you news cite this and leave me out? I'm the happiest guy alive in the new Chavruta. I'm the centerfold, the pinup, kosher centerfold. There I am, Rakefet, I can't believe it. I never got such covet in my life. But you know me. That came. It was not sought. There's a difference. A Rebbe has to be able to balance it all out. You have to give a student guidance. How to deal with taiva, how to deal with kinner, how to deal with covet. You want to be a Rebbe? You have to be a malach. This is a calling. This is not an industry. It's not a profession. You can't handle it? Be a lawyer. They're going crazy now. Bronfman, who gave the whole talk against stealing and schmealing from the government and the Shminker Rebbe and this and that. Who represents the new thief? Balanki, if I'm pronouncing his name right? Bronfman. Balkani, Balkani. What's the name? I have it now. Balkani. Thank you. Thank you. Why, you got it on the computer? You saw the article. Balkani. It's all over the world already. Everyone has picked it up with the internet. There are no sequels. Balkani, 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 Vesich. You know him too. Well, you better go to mikveh if you know him already. Tartar of Adas. That's him. That's him. That's him. That's him. That's the what's his name? What's his name? Balkan. We're not holding you responsible. Don't worry, don't worry. No one should hold Reuven Elevin responsible that he happened to be in Torah Vanas with the man who was just arrested. So, you see, to be a Rebbe, it's a holy responsibility, an achrayat kveidah. But know what you're doing. I shiver, I shake, I think of a Rebbe. Love, be loved, respected. Talmud Chacham, Mechadesh, Svarim. And then think with men, I can't even mouth the words. Elu Elohecha Yisrael. It's a golden calf. It's frightening. So let me reiterate and let me end off. We can't lose heart. People make mistakes. Tshuva is possible. It's between them and God. We have to defend the community at large. And this is not just a simple mistake. I don't want to go into halachic details because the outcome of the halacha is very frightening. This is a mistake of national proportions. Thousands, if not tens of thousands, are deeply affected and grieved. I saw it here in the Kollel, and as I said, I saw it in my family multiplied many times than on an individual basis.
They may not be sure if you can't.
I said I don't want to reach conclusions. The conclusions are worse than that. Looking at the Hilchat Tshuva, Kol Hashem, I don't have to spell everything out, God forbid. It's a terrible situation. Rabbanim are only humans, they make mistakes. Kutz lives on with a lot of greatness. Many a mimer was quoted by the Rav. I actually quote the Kutzke Rebbe in my new book as well. But there were mistakes. Thank God it didn't influence too many. Rabbanim made mistakes that border on life and death. It's not mistakes of unethical behavior. It's mistakes in judgment, and maybe we can't even call it a mistake. Ein l'dayin l'mashin never what, and I'll deal with that in great detail when I deal with Das Teira next year, Be'ezrat Hashem. I'll reach it. I have a lot to say. But the concept of an admur, the concept of infallibility, the concept of surrendering your mind to somebody else is alien to anyone who is steeped in Teira and Yirat Shemayim. The greatest Selam Elokim we have is our ability to think. I grew up with the Rav. I'm proud to say I've never let anyone make me lalechet b'telem, we say in modern Hebrew. No one could ever blow a horn, a pipe, and a bugle and get me to march. I think, and I reach a conclusion. Sometimes I may be right, sometimes I may be wrong, but at least I've thought on my own. But I'm unfortunately realistic enough to know that what I'm talking about, thinking, it's a hard commodity to come by today. It may be a result of the Holocaust. It may be a result of the success of the Hasidic world, which I humbly acknowledged. That's all I can tell you. When I went to Stamford Hill, I saw, you know what you had there? It's unbelievable. Then you go to Borough Park and you see 100 times as much. Then you come to Yerushalayim, Bnei Brak, you see 100 times as much as Borough Park. It's unbelievable. And I'm leaving out Crown Heights. I don't want to minimize Crown Heights. Also, we've lost the ability to learn. We live in dual culture. Our minds are different. Matu hadarat mershonim kumalacha anu b'nei tamuta ben mershon b'nei tamuta anu chamom v'afkivu loka chama shel pinchas ben yair. Everyone knows that Gemara. It's probably a result of the dual culture. We are all caught up in it. Can't escape it. And by the way, it has many positive aspects. I'm not saying this negatively. But you have to recognize what your circumstances are, what your parameters are. But people seek not more. And that's what makes this case so tragic. That we thought we had not more. And as I began this year an hour and a half ago, the person whom I trusted let me down. The Gemara says it so beautifully, I can't say it any better. Ikvata the Meshichata. There's no doubt that we have all the descriptions of the Mishnah are right here in our time. Halavai, it should be the Reshit Geulatenu. Shetehei Reshit Geulatenu. Shetehei, the final Ikvata, the Meshichata. The Gemara in Sota, Beit HaVadka, Beit HaSnut, look how Rashi couldn't comprehend that such a thing would happen. And as someone who grew up in my period, in my time, my rebellion, what I saw, who could comprehend this? But the Pshat is Pashut. And I'll tell you a good word from Reb Heschel Schachter. We were talking the other day. I was telling him in my new book, I developed an idea that as far as I know, no one else has developed. The tragedy of our Rebbeim who are uprooted from Europe and could never be in America what they would have been in Europe. This goes for New York, it goes for Boston, where Rabbi Rubin grew up. So Rabbi Heschel said, yeah, but there's another side to the coin. In seventh grade, we already had Gedolei Yisrael. I said to Heschel, you're absolutely right. My eighth grade Rebbe was Rabbi Chenich Fishman. It's a giant. Who would teach eighth grade? I never taught eighth grade. I stopped high school. I stopped college teaching 10 years ago already. Eighth grade Rebbe, Chenich Fishman. What a gift. In our time, we couldn't conceive Beit Havad, Beit Hasnut. Impossible. Today, we see it with our own eyes. Here, there, and this time on a level that I don't know any time before that it affected so many people. I gave you some pretty strong words of Musa. You're going out into the world. You want to be Rabbanim. You want to be Mechanchim. Recognize what you're getting into. You have to be a Malach. I want to end off with the Rambam Hilchot Mamrim Perek Aleph Halacha Aleph. Again, I hear the Rav as I say it. One ear, I hear you repeating it, David, 50 years from now. In this year, I hear the Rav saying it 50, 60 years ago. Got me, David? David Pardo. He's my right hand. Oh, the Rambam. He's talking about a Zakin Mamre. In order to understand the Zakin Mamre, Hilchot Mamrim, we have to give an introduction what the Beit Din HaGadol is. And listen to the words of the Rambam. Beit Din HaGadol Sheb Yerushalayim Ha'ikah Torah Shebal Peh. All of Torah Shebal Peh depends upon them. V'heim Amud HaHora'ah. They're the basis of guidance, teaching. Psak umehem chokam mishpat yotzlei lechol Yisrael. Ba'aleim hivticha ha-Torah shenem al-pi ha-Torah shnei ruchem ha-mishpatim ha-shnei yomer lecha taseh. Zu mitzvah taseh. And this is the whole concept of emunat chachamim and lo tasur, the authority of the Beit HaGadol in Yerushalayim. And finally the Rambam adds these words. It's the Rambam's words. V'chol ha-mamin b'moshe Rabbeinu v'torato chayav l'smoch ma'aseh hadat aleichem u'lehisha'en aleichem. Anyone who believes in Moshe Rabbeinu and his Torah, anyone who believes in tradition, has to depend upon these people, trust them, lean on them, and govern his religious life in accordance with their guidance. My dear friends, students, colleagues-to-be, you're the future. You're the continuity. V'chol ha'mamin b'Moshe Rabbeinu b'Torato chayav l'smoch ma'aseh hadat aleihem u'lishalein aleihem. So many people, look how many lives your humble servant influenced, taught, had interaction with over the generations. I'm a little kid from the Bronx, but not when I'm teaching Torah. When I'm teaching Torah, I have to understand the full responsibility. V'chol ha'mamin b'Moshe Rabbeinu, who I am, what I'm continuing, who I represent, where I'm coming from. V'heisa chacham haro'e tanolat. We have to understand where we'll be in the great tomorrow. We have a charge, we have a commitment, we have a responsibility. If we understand it, and this Rambam is our guide, then we go into the rabbinate, we go into teaching Torah. There's no greater calling in the world, nothing more important. It's the only way we guarantee there'll be good Jews tomorrow. The banner of Torah will be carried high and in dignity, and Be'ezrat Hashem, halavai yitamu chatayim min ha'aretz. We won't have to give talks like this in years to come. Rabbi Chaninya ben Akasha Omer Ratzah Kodesh Baruch Hu L'zakot et Yisrael L'fika Achir B'lechem Torah Mitzmat Shenema Adonai Chafetz L'man Sito Yadvil Torah V'yadim Yagadel V'yitadish Shimei Rabah V'yomad Ibrach Yutev L'anich Malchutei L'chayechonu V'yomechonu V'chayei D'cho Beit Yisrael V'agala U'zman Kariv V'yimru Amen Shimei Rabah M'barach L'yolam L'yom Ayom Ayah Yitbarach V'yishtabach V'yipah V'yitnuman V'yitnasei V'yitadah V'yitaleh V'yitalal Shimei D'kudsha B'rikhu L'ylam Inko B'chata ושירתה ותשפחתה ונחמתה דמירם ביומה וימרו אמן. על ישראל ועל רבנן ועל תלמידיהן ועל כל תלמידי תלמידיהן ועל כל מנדי אסכים ביורייתא דביאטרא קדישא הדין דבכל עתה ויתה יהי להון ולכון שלום רבא חינו וחיסטו ורחמים וחיין עריכינו מזון ורביחי ופוקונו מקודם אבלון דבשמיה ויערה וימרו אמן. יהי שלום רבא משמיה וחיים עלינו ועל כל ישראל וימרו אמן. עושה שלום במרום ויעשה שלום עלינו ועל כל ישראל וימרו אמן. Gentlemen, before you leave, it's a yard site, we have cake drink. I have freebies, anyone interested, yitz. Here's for you. Here's for Michael. Anyone interested in the Chabad, this is a beautiful picture of YU, the lady with the 2,000 direct descendants. 2,000. New York Times article. The article on Camp Stone, what they do for children, what they've accomplished, very fascinating. The $4 million hedge fund crook, see if that's the guy, he gives his whole background. Wow.
Same guy.
Rabbi Shach. One second.